Good to know that God reigns. It's amazing to me in that thought of God reigning. He reigns over all. Even the small things, doesn't he? This week, as we've been going through the book of James, God so worked in my heart this week. I think Brother Zizer was over helping me at our new house. And I told him, I said, I've been reading through Job. And I said, I believe God's going to change my message for Sunday. But throughout the week, I was still planning on preaching through James. And then I had a funeral earlier this week. And these truths, the book of Job, was just continually on my heart. And at the funeral, I shared a simple portion of the text we're going to be in today. We're going to take a break for a week and try to obey the Lord. And we're going to jump to Job just for a week. And this is a message that God has laid on my heart. And it's always better to obey the Lord, isn't it? And I said to the Lord, I said, you know, there's something important going on today. And I said, I'm not so comfortable with you switching my messages like that. I said, I like to be up there and feel comfortable, and I'm not. And but I know it's what the Lord wants. And as me and Brother Tim, we didn't converse at all this week, did we? And all the songs have almost fit perfectly with what we're going to talk about today. And I thoroughly enjoy when God does that. He reigns, doesn't he? We're going to be in Job chapter number 1. I'm going to be preaching a message titled, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. We're going to begin reading. We're going to read through the entire chapter. So we're going to begin reading in Job chapter number 1, verse number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his sons would go up and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped, and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. It's a long passage, but I wanted you to read it to get an understanding of the text. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, as we gather here, Lord, as you have moved in our spirit through song, Lord, I know indeed that you desire to speak mightily to someone in this room today. Father, I can do nothing apart from you. For if I stand up here, Lord, it will be nothing but a work of the flesh. Father, help me to stand behind the cross, crucified, and allow the Spirit of Christ to come forth. And Lord, we desire to be changed. We desire to hear from heaven, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would take these truths and plant them deep within our hearts, and that we would be eternally changed for your glory. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. What to do when you don't know what to do? You ever had situations like that in life? Things come in your life and you really don't know what to do. I had one of those situations this week. I was working on our house night and day and I was exhausted. And this house has a bathtub that's big enough for me to fit in, which is a miracle. And I was looking forward to taking a nice, hot, warm bath and turning on the bubbles. So I'm sitting there, and my wife's giving me a hard time. You know, "Oh, you can't wait to get in." I couldn't wait to get in this bathtub. And so I run the water, I get it filled up, and I get in, and I forget that this house has been sitting for 2.5 years. So I turn on the bubbles, and as soon as, blink of an eye, that nice bath water turned into nice pond water. All the dust and whatever else was sitting in those tubes for 2.5 years came out and suddenly ruined my expectation of a bath. That was a moment I didn't know what to do. And it kind of fits because my wife looks over at me, and you know that look. She doesn't say anything. She just goes, "Guess you're not taking a bath, huh?" I said, "Nope, I'm not going to take a bath." But that was a moment that I had no idea what I was going to do. I had to stay up late, and instead of getting extra rest, I had to clean out the bathtub. But as we look at the book of Job, in this first chapter, we see a man in Job. And let's get some background of this text. In Job chapter number 1, verse number 1, look at what the Spirit of God, through inspiration, says about Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. Would it be safe to say that Job was a follower of God? He was an upright, blameless follower of God. Would you agree? Job's desire was to live for God, and he was the patriarch of his family, and that's what he desired, to represent God to his home, and he desired to live for the glory of God. But look down a little bit. Look at verse number 5. Now, so it was when the days of the feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Who was Job offering offerings for? His children. Look what he says here. For it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. Now, think with me for a moment. Do you think Job had a burden for his children? I, along with many commentators, believe this, that Job's children were not living a life of faith. Now, if your children are living for God and serving God, is there times that you really wonder if they're going to curse God? I don't believe so. I believe Job was an upright and godly man, but his children were living a life of riotous living. They weren't living concerned. They weren't living passionately for the things of God. And I believe that was a tremendous burden on Job. Do you agree? If he's going to get up every morning and pray according to the number of them all, he wasn't going to leave one of them out. He was concerned for his children, right? And he was concerned that his children would curse God. I mean, write God off. Stop living for God. Does that cease to make Job not a godly man? No, this is a rabbit trail here. But I want to, there is many people that struggle with children. And mine haven't grown up yet, but I want you to understand something. Do not allow Satan to beat you up or discourage you because of what happens with your adult children. You, like Job, the only thing that you can really do is continually bring them before the Lord. But this is I wanted to say that because this is already a tremendous burden on Job, don't you agree? So as we step into the next portion of Scripture, we are going to see a scene in heaven. And look what happens. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Look here. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered, "I've been walking back and forth on the earth." We all know what he's doing. He's walking as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, correct? And God says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Do you see God's hand of sovereignty here? Job is continually burdened with his children, continually bringing them before the Lord. And then Satan comes before God. And God says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan says, "The only reason he lives for you, God, is because you have blessed him. You have protected him. You have increased his wealth. That's the only reason that he lives for you." And long story short, he says, "Satan, you can have free rein on his life. Just spare his life." And then Job, who continually prayed for his children, the sovereign hand of God allowed Satan to destroy Job's life. Would you agree? What happened? All of his wealth was gone. His livelihood gone. Most importantly, the children that he so desperately prayed for were gone. Does that sink in? Now, Job here, you would think in the human sense, he would have a reason to look to heaven and say, God, I have been praying regularly for my children, and now your sovereign hand has allowed them to be taken away from me. Now, would you agree with me that that is a situation that we could say you wouldn't know what to do? You look to heaven and you know that you've been diligently praying for your children, and God's answer to that prayer is that he has taken the life of your children. Would you agree that he allowed it? In Job's heart, he could have looked to heaven and said, God, why? Why did you allow this? Why is this happening? Why did I have been an upright man? I have followed you. But that was not Job's response. And I believe there are believers in here that have different situations, whether it be children, whether it be health, whether it be sickness, whether it be pain, suffering, marital problems. I mean, there's a whole gamut of situations that are going on in our lives that we can all say, I just don't know what to do. Would you agree? And they are heavy burdens on people's hearts. They think about them constantly. So this morning, I want to look at a couple things of what to do when you don't know what to do. The first one, even though Job, in verse number 20, even though Job was devastated, look at verse number 20. And then Job arose. He tore his robe and he shaved his head. You know what that was a sign of? For a man to rent his clothes and to shave his head was a way of showing one's devastation. It was, I'm willing to be shamed and rip my clothes and lay here. But it doesn't stop there. Though he was devastated by the situation, look here. Though he was devastated by the situation, he remained devoted. Look at here. He shaved his head and he rent his clothes. And did he curse God? Did he question God? No, he did the exact opposite. He worshiped God. A devastating situation, a situation where you don't know what to do. He shows that he's devastated, but yet his response was to worship and to bless the name of the Lord. Wow. I didn't think about worshiping God when my bathtub filled up with pond water. How can Job respond to devastation like that? I think Job understood that one thing, that God is absolutely sovereign. We see that in the beginning of this book, that God, there is nothing that comes into our life that has not passed through the sovereign hand of God. There is not one sickness, one pain, one situation that you are going through that God is not aware of, and that it has not passed by his sovereign hand, his all-controlling hand. Would you agree? I believe Job knew that. Secondly, I believe Job understood that Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan's desire, what was Satan's goal for attacking Job? Yeah, to make him give up on God, curse God. Do you know that's his goal for your life? Do you know that? Satan has to answer to God. He is still under the realm of God's authority. Do you agree with that? Don't allow a devastating situation in your life to rob you of your devotion to God. Because that is exactly what Satan wants. He wants to use a difficult situation to get your devotion to God Almighty to wane, to grow cold, to grow less zealous, for you to not be concerned with the things of God. That's his goal, don't you agree? Secondly, I think Job responded by worshiping. Over and over you see, whether it be Old Testament or New Testament, we hear the joy of our salvation, or we see David writing in the Psalms this thankfulness for his salvation. It was what Paul encouraged all the churches with, going back to their salvation. You understand there is one thing that Satan can never take from you that is locked in the hands of God, and that is your eternal salvation. Do you understand that if you are in Christ, you have placed your faith in him, he has imputed his righteousness to you, that you are sealed, secured, and on your way to a glorious place in heaven? Do you understand that? There are many people who want to argue that doctrine and to say it leads to a life of license and sin. I do not believe that to be true. I believe every time that I look at my security in the grace of God, I look up to heaven and I wonder how God could love such a sinner like me. It doesn't produce license in my life. It produces a life of worship in my life because God loves me apart from all my failures, apart from all my sins. And I believe that Job understood that clearly. He says this later in the book of Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Devastated, but remaining devoted. Second point, verse number 21. Look at Job here. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Do you think Job, in his humanness, felt defeated by this situation? Think about it. Your prayer, what was Job praying for? And what did God take away? To me, that speaks of defeat, doesn't it? I have been diligent. I have followed you, God. God, I have been your servant. I have faithfully followed you. I have faithfully served you. I have done this. I was just praying that my kids would follow in those footsteps, and then their lives were taken. Do you know there are many people in here that feel defeated? Whatever the situation, and they can almost say the same thing as Job. Job, they say, God, I have faithfully followed you. God, I have served you. God, I have lived for you. I've tried to raise my family to the best of my ability. And then God, this sickness, God, death, you reward your servants with suffering, God. Can't you hear the voice of defeat in our humanness? Isn't that a logical thing to say? Be angry at this situation, frustrated, just ready to give up. God, what did it matter that I lived for you? What did it matter that I raised my kids right? What did it matter all of that to come to this point, God? That's not how he responds. Even though he may have felt defeated, he remained dependent on God. Look here. He said, I came into this world with nothing. Everything that I gained in this life came from the sovereign hand of God. My kids came from God. My wealth came from God. Everything that I am, my very breath, comes from the hand of God. He understood that he was completely and utterly dependent upon the power and grace of God in his life.
He said, naked I came. I had absolutely nothing in this life except from God. God created me. He gave me life. He gave me breath. He gave me wealth. He gave me children. He can do absolutely anything he wants to in my life. How much have you ever accomplished by worrying? How many problems have you solved by worrying? None, really. Really, it just eats you up, doesn't it? That's a bad word. Doesn't it? That's Southern, if you haven't done it, right? Brother Archie? Yeah, Brother Archie understands when I say stuff like that. How many things in this life would any of us be here if it wasn't for God? Would any of you woke up this morning if it wasn't for God? No. Whether we like it or not, whether we're believers or not, every created being in this realm of God, in God's realm of authority, is completely dependent upon God. And he says this, God gives and God takes away. But blessed be his name. For I would have nothing if it wasn't for God. And if he decides to take it away, blessed be the name of God. Worship him. And I think another thing that we can gather, all things work together for what? Good. I was reading a book, and it used this illustration, and I thought it was absolutely beautiful. There was this man, as a preacher. He was walking down the streets of Chicago after losing his family in the fire. And as he was walking down the streets, he said that he was just questioning God. God, much like Job, God, I have served you. God, I have lived for you. I tried to raise my family according to your will. And then they're all gone, God. And as he was walking and questioning the hand of God, he was looking at a stone worker that was working on a great cathedral. And he stops and he begins to admire the great and beautiful work that this man has done. But yet he saw this man working as a chisel at the very bottom. He sees this man chiseling away at this piece. And that preacher that was down and discouraged, he asked the man, he said, why are you taking that piece out right there? And that stone worker looked at that preacher and he said this. He goes, you see that spot way up there? I have to take this piece out here in order that I can get it to fit up there. And at that moment, that preacher, it was like a light came on. He knew exactly what God has been doing in his life. See, sometimes God takes away here and presently, but we don't know what he's going to do in the future. We don't know what he's going to use it for down the road. But you know what? God is not the God of present only. God has already been in our future, and he works in our present accordingly, knowing what is best for our future. He may take away here and now, but I promise you it is working for something for your greater good down the road. You may not see it now, but you will see it later. Isn't that true? And this was what, in the life of Job, we know at the end of the story that God restored doubly his portion, didn't he? Though presently it may seem like a defeated, hopeless situation, do not lose hope in your dependence on a great and merciful and sovereign God. What he is doing now is for a purpose down the road that you may not see, but I promise you one thing according to Scripture, it's for your good. We can find comfort in that, can't we? Does that apply to all situations? Sicknesses? Yes. Children going astray? Overwhelming circumstances of life? Yes. Though we may feel defeated, we need to remain dependent. All right, I'm going to hurry. Turn with me over to chapter number 2, verse number 8. This is just a little truth that I thought was too good not to share. Again, and if you read chapter number 2, you're going to see the same kind of scenario, that Satan couldn't get his work done in Job's life. Job remained faithful. So now Satan is going to be attacking the flesh of Job, and he begins with boils, painful boils. But what Job uses, I believe, illustrates this final point perfectly. Chapter number 2, look at verse number 8. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of ashes. Ashes represent sorrow and just this person that's in this state of mourning. Hopeless situation, and God not only doesn't he heal Job, but he kind of piles it on Job, doesn't he? Not only did he lose his wealth, his lands, didn't he lose his children, he sat there and he worshiped God. He still remained obedient to God, and then God doesn't send healing that moment. He sends another trial. He allows Job to be covered with boils, sickness, painful. And in the midst of this, Job is sitting in a situation that's represented by ashes, shaved head, ripped clothing. You know what he picks up? A broken piece of clay. Do you know who God uses? Broken people. God can't use you unless you're broken. And many times, God uses trials and hardships in our lives to break us to the point that he can use us for a greater weight of glory. So when Job is sitting down in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of sorrow, he picks up a broken piece of clay. Do you know that's all that you and me are in this room? There's people in here that are suffering. Heartaches, pains, sickness, marital problems, you name it. We're a sinful people, but we must admit that we're broken. And it's okay to be broken. It's okay to weep. It's okay to have heartache. It's okay to have pain. Because when we are made weak, who is made strong in our lives? God. Then the famous quote, what does Job's wife tell him? And I believe we'll end with this. See, we all have situations in our life that are difficult, don't we? And you can there's two responses here. And I believe Satan had full reign on Job's wife. She responded exactly how Satan wanted her to. What did she say? Yeah, that's a loving statement from your wife. My wife didn't say that to me when I took a bath. Satan had full reign in Job's wife's life. You know what she was saying? We've lived for God, Job. We've served God. You're an upright man. And God, look at what we get for it. We get brokenness. We get kids that don't want to live for God. And then when we pray for them every single night, God answers with taking our children away. And now you're covered in sickness, Job. You're really going to keep this whole God thing up. She looks at him in the midst of his ashes, getting ready to scrape off the boils, and she said, just give up on God, Job. Just curse him and you can just die. I'm completely done. Satan won in Job's wife's life. What about you and your situation? Who's winning? Is your heart responding to your difficulty with frustration, devastation, discouragement, despair, hopelessness? Or is it an attitude of, God, you give, you take away. Everything I have is yours, my life included. I'm still going to remain devoted. I'm still going to remain following you no matter what happens in my life. God, I'll serve you. I'm not going to allow it to sway my devotion. I'm going to remain dependent upon you, whatever you so desire to do in my life. Where are you at this morning? Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we are truly grateful for your word. Father, I know by the leading of your Spirit, there is someone here that is mightily struggling, Lord. Father, I pray that our great Comforter would so work in that heart that they would look to the promises of your word and find hope, find healing, find restoration into fellowship with you. Father, I pray that you would bind the hand of Satan as he desires to work in lives. Lord, allow us to have an awareness from your word that we understand his ways. We understand that you are sovereign. He is under your authority and your realm. Father, help us to look only to you. Allow us to find our hope, strength, our security in you. Father, I pray at this time that you would work in the hearts of your children. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.